api.
Sosi obe ko.
Manen ko. Jaino manen ko.
Sosi obe ubio.
Manen ko. Jaino manen ko.
Sosi obe li ubio.
Manen ko. Jaino manen ko.
Yo, this takes me back, like back. Wow, I haven't heard this song in a minute.
No, yeah, literally, like my entire childhood. You know how people used to watch like ET, like Rhapsody?
You never watched
ET, like YouTube.
That was playing all the time.
Wow. So why this song? Like,
yes.
Why this specific song? Of all the songs that you had on your YouTube playlist going through, why this one?
Because this is honestly like legit song we used to be me and my sisters, and we would just like be in too much.
you guys were VIP, the lady VIP.
Yeah,
we just be a nag and do our own music video like on Saturday when we had to come down. Like, so this song is like never left, like, it's always in the
so could we get a TikTok of you guys reenacting it, you know, sometime in the near future, please?
We might. I just might make it happen, you know, maybe we can go viral. Right out of the top.
I love it. No, this song brings me back to like Acrobat Luna Ballroom. Like, that's all I think about, just like,
yeah, this is late 90s, the real beginnings of hip life when it started to travel the world. I mean, yeah, it gives you that feel. Incredible.
I know, it makes me, I'm listening it to it now and I'm like, dang, I actually miss it.
I know. I know, right? What is this Afrobeat?
I love Afrobeat, but there's just something about it something about this genre, this era, this time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. It feels like.
Nah, it's tough. I don't think that time will ever be replicated. It was just a time where, like, Ghanaian music itself was trying to find itself, and like the cross pollination of high life and hip hop, R&B, dance music, like all fusing
all the above.
Into just one thing that made absolutely no sense. You had like you had corny rappers that just sounded amazing. You had like terrible singers that could just flow with any beat, and it just made everything work.
Like, this is like the time where we also want to be like with like freaking, like, I feel like right now, I don't, you know, I love Dana. I'm Dana till I die. I want to say nothing. I'm just like, I feel like with Afrobeat right now, we're like top two and we're not number one, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's true. And I think it's also because Afrobeat is not really ours, right? It's taken from a lot of the things that we used to do. And, you know, Nigeria has made it their own and their own sound. And we're struggling to find our own sound in it.
Yeah.
And when it's something that's not innate to you, you can't be the best at that.
And Ghanaians are very uncompromising also. Like, it's not, we're not willing to really just jump ship, but we're like, this is really where the money is. But then we're like, this is not really true to ourselves.
Yeah.
So there's definitely that struggle. So we'll see where it goes. But
oh man, but for those listening to us and don't know the song,
yes,
Josh, what is the name of the song, the artist, so they can figure out how they get it on their playlist to reenact as well.
Shout out VIP. Shout out VIP, yes.
VIP is in their name already.
Yes.
The name of the song is called Naninfo. So if you guys want to search it up on YouTube, the music video is still there. It's still fresh, okay? It's still bumped in 2022. You guys can go run up their numbers, you know, and watch.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
no, I love it. It's the official, my official, I've been curved by a girl, but I don't care anyway song. Let her go. It's fine.
It's painful, but still. Let her go.
I didn't want you that way anyways. I'm good.
Right?
I love it.
When guys get rejected, they get abusive.
Oh, very. I don't want you anyways.
Oh, I didn't want you.
Weren't that cute anyway.
Oh, they never were.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. Memories. Doc, so what's our phrase of the day today?
Phrase of the day is kwancheng adiefa yedisikaneye, which essentially is to say, if you see something that's beautiful, it's done with money.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Revisit the phrase as usual.
Yeah.
And we'll discuss it.
That's deep.
Yeah. But we'll have that.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, keep thinking. We'll come back to it. All right. Once again, hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Salome Kwame Redu. I go by Sal.
My name is Samuel Akwasi Boateng, and I go by Sam. And welcome to our podcast, Doctor.
Or an Embarrassment, where we profile the life of the immigrant child in the diaspora.
This is essentially the immigrant's guide to disappointing your parents. And on this season, we are focusing and highlighting entrepreneurship and entrepreneurs.
Yes. And we're here with a very special entrepreneur, very stylish, very elegant.
Miss Polished.
Very polished.
Yeah. And we have to keep going. She's waiting for like three more words. Keep polished, going.
Elegant.
Eloquent.
Eclectic.
Oh. Vibrant.
Vibrant. Yes. Lively. Yeah. All the above. Miss Joseph Edesel.
Yes.
Welcome, madam.
Thank you. So glad to be here. I'm excited.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Madam Josh, welcome. Welcome to our room. This is, you know, Dr. Embarrassment. If you don't, you must. All right, Miss Josh. Seen this show before. Heard us before. This is the lightning round. This is where it's word association. We ask you questions. You give us answers. Try not to overthink it. As we were saying before, in the end, we will give you a diagnosis based on the answers you give us. So no pressure.
Yeah, no pressure. First thing that comes to mind, if you need to think about it, you say pass and we'll get back to it at the end. All right.
Yeah, right. Is there time on the clock? We really should put a.
We should. But don't worry. We will be your timers. We will push you. Let's go.
Where were you born? T-Dot,
Toronto.
T-Dot, stand up.
Where in Ghana is your family from?
Okay, my mom is from Accra.
Oh, Tadi.
Tadi.
Yeah, my dad is actually from a really small town, so it's like my entire family, like my great-great whatever, he founded this town. I'm sure you guys heard about it only because like there was news about it a few months ago, but it's called the TSA.
Oh, yeah. That's where the explosion was.
Yeah.
Where the explosion was. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right. What age did you, you usually ask what age you visited, you know, you came to Canada.
Yeah.
But since you were born to T-Dot, when did you last go back to GH?
No, when was the first? Ask her.
The first time you went to GH.
When was the first time you went back?
This is, okay. So my first and only time.
Oh, wow. Me
for this, so but because it just never works out. Like, I was supposed to go last year. Here I am trying to defend my answer. But the first time I went to Ghana was when I was 5 years old.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, but I'm telling you guys, I remember everything. Like, literally, I can remember the smell of Ghana. Like, I remember my
You'll never forget the smell.
I always, people tell me, they're like, oh, you were five, what did you know? But I'm like, literally, I'll never forget. I will never forget.
Wow.
But yeah, I haven't been back since then, so I try not to answer that question too tough, you guys.
Oh, don't worry. We're gonna start a hashtag, get Josh back to Ghana.
Yes.
daily reminders and affirmations of what you're
get missing. Josh back.
You can link a GoFundMe there too.
we'll work on that one. What's your favorite Ghanaian movie?
Oh my god. Okay, actually, have you guys seen, this is a really old one, but I think it's called Darkness of Sorrow. Have you guys seen that one before?
Never seen it, but it sounds like the title of an old Ghana movie.
It is. It's Nadia Bazzari.
Oh, yeah, that era?
That's your era, eh?
Yes.
Ron Nelson.
All right, favorite kind of song?
Can I say I don't have a thing?
Top three or top five? Top three or top five?
Okay. Let me see. Let's come back to this. I will wait for.
No, sounds good.
Your favorite Ghanaian food?
Yes.
Favorite Benku okra soup.
Oh, with okra. Okay. Not a fan of okra.
I'm with you on that.
The texture gets me.
After three bites, I'm like nauseous.
Bangu has to be with pepper. Yes, pepper and shito. That's it.
That is pepper and shito.
What
was that?
Yep.
No. And I don't trust your taste now at all.
Oh, okay. I just feel like my fingers are all slimy afterwards. And
yeah, I know.
That's literally the best part.
All right, outdooring or wedding?
Wedding, traditional. Janet's Trad.
Beautiful. Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Jollof or watchit?
Okay, you know what? I'm actually a watchit fan. When you put the stew and you have the tali on the top.
Oh, you're doing it.
Okay, malt or Fanta?
Oh, malt.
Yes.
Tiger malt?
What's up? You know what's up. Tiger malt, yes. That's my joint.
Peanut butter soup or light soup?
I don't even have to get peanut butter.
Okay, that's what's up.
And then I'm gonna feel me again. What is going on?
He feels me.
I do.
I'm not about that.
That's me.
That's just way too creamy for me. Nah.
Afrobeat or high life?
Afrobeat.
It's okay. Adwa or Azonto?
Well, I can't do either. But
which do you prefer?
I'm gonna give it to the gospel, because you know I'm a little bit of a new school.
New school.
All right. this may not apply to you, but KLM or Delta Airlines.
Okay,
which one do you fly
back to? Me, but I feel like my whole household is KLM, so I also have
to yes, KLM baby.
Literally, it feels like a soccer team. Like I have to.
Top three Ghanaian artists.
Okay. If I were to position them like 2022, no particular order, I probably would put Shaka Wale there for sure.
Okay.
Wale.
That's my life.
Even though he's kind of act like he's Jamaican from that.
He's nuts.
King Promise.
Okay.
Go.
Shout out King Promise.
The thermal is kind of, I feel like the thermal is kind of hard because I feel like there's a few other people that are also like doing stuff, but like I would still kind of treat them on the same level. Maybe I might say like, for me personally, maybe I might feel like synthetic.
Creamy.
What did you say? Sorry.
Which artist? Yes.
Okay.
I think those like I could I just I don't know.
Now back to the favorite songs. Any top three or still pass?
Okay, I could give a couple. I need a couple for sure. I actually like Kitty's song "Adult."
Okay,
and this is Is this like only Yana's song? This is only Yana.
No, you can expand to Afro beats as well. We'll let you get
these Canadians.
We'll let you cross.
Well, now this is robust. Okay,
now it's just gonna be a bunch of Nigerian songs, but it's okay. It's good for our it's gonna do for our diagnosis.
Even if it's feel like that is kind of like a frustration for the Nigerian artist too as well. It's like, the Nigerian artists are really pushing out music all the time. And they're really coming through with it. I feel like we either we have a final system good and then we don't follow through.
You fall back. You fall back. Yeah. You gotta push it like a factory. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That makes sense, yeah.
First of all, I think one of my favorite Afrobeat albums was Made in Lagos, would be for me. Honestly, I would put that in top two album.
Yeah.
All time. It's amazing.
Wow.
Nobody can tell me anything about it. Literally.
S's Warriors.
I'll be right there in the audience. The song is, and when he performs it live, I found him live this recently, and I was like, oh my God, he's so good. Berna, number one performer that there is, he's so amazing too as well.
He's incredible.
He's great. Incredible. I would say I'm not crazy about all the important work, but he has some top songs. Even on this most recent album, Common Person, and literally it's
moving. I know.
Well, that song is so good.
The whole album is amazing.
So he does they do a really, really good job. And I'm not just using those two because they're just the ones that or Tem, but Tem is the main thing, too as well. But honestly, I'm really loving all of the music that's coming out right now. From Joe Boy to But it's a 10.
It's Fireboy. It's all about Fireboy.
So you hear that Ghanaian artist step up in the game. We're losing our Ghanaian.
We're losing right now. On the music side, we're losing. And we're
close.
So we need to get up.
And the Nigerians get muff.
You won't hear the end of it.
we will never hear the end of it. Oh, gosh. Okay, and finally, Doctor or Embarrassment.
I'm definitely an embarrassment.
Yeah, man, I hear you on that.
It's the place to be. You haven't done anything unless you're an embarrassment.
All right. So, Madam Josh, tell us your full name. The name they gave you at your outdooring. And they told everybody, this is your name.
My name started first. It was Kukwa. That was my name. Okay. That's actually what everybody called me when I was younger.
Okay.
But I had to let go. It was Kukwa, Joshebed, Barbara. Oh,
wow. Kukwa, Joshebed. I missed the middle name. Isaba. Kukwa, Joshebed.
Isaba.
Isel.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Big.
Very, very fancy name.
Yeah, very, very fancy, yeah.
literally, very, very fancy.
And what name do you go by? What do people call you in general, and what do they call you at home?
Okay. Actually, now, I feel like everyone's moved off of Kukwa. At home, people used to call me Kukwa and my family, but now it's just Josh. I've really streamlined everyone, so they all call me Josh.
Why have you streamlined people off of Kukwa?
I know, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Why?
No, I can appreciate it now when I'm older, but when I was younger, I didn't want anything. I didn't want to have anything to do with my Afrobeat. And I felt like it was also a lot to have my name too as well. My whole name is Joseph. That's a lot to put on a kid.
That is a lot. Yeah.
The only person in kindergarten who they cannot have pronounced their name. That's a lot.
Yeah. So tell me about it.
You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, let me shorten down my name, make it easy. And then I got used to doing that.
Yeah.
I feel like now Josh is more my identity than it is Mm. Like, that's why I'm always like with people. Like, yeah, you can just call me Joach. Like,
does anybody still call you Kukua?
My aunt.
Your aunts? Okay.
They won't let it die. Yeah, that's not gonna.
And, I feel like it's their version of stunning me. It's like,
okay. And I think doctorate embarrassment, we won't let it die either.
No, but, no. So Kukua it is.
Kukua.
We
love it.
So any particular meeting, I mean, Kukua is a Wednesday born, correct? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Female, but anything else in terms of meaning to your name?
So any of your names?
Any of the names, yes.
So Joseph is biblical.
Okay.
It actually means Jehovah's glory. So as much as I don't say the full name, I do take that on. I'm like, yeah.
it sounds like your dad, your parents were Bible scholars to be able to pick
right out. Yeah, exactly.
100%. I always like
they pick this one from the Old Testament. This one,
all of my siblings have like biblical names, but they're all super easy. Like Sarah.
So you were just born to stand out, right? You had to stand out.
I said stand out at number three. Like you guys could have stood out at number one. Now number three is when you guys decide to get unconventional. It's like, oh my
God. Super creative. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, as a child, do you remember what you wanted to be when you grew up?
I feel like, I don't really think I chose this career, but I think that sometimes when you show like an inkling of intelligence in your child and say, automatically you start telling me, oh my God, my kid is going to be a doctor. And then I started to speak that out. And then, I'm going to be a doctor as well. So, like, I always knew that from the time I was, like, 4 all the way till 18. I was like, yeah, 100%. Nobody could tell me anything. I was like, I'm going to be a doctor.
Yes.
I wanted to be an obstetrician.
You showed some promise. Like, what was that promise, and why doctor? Though, like, why was it not, you know, lawyer or any other big thing? But why the doctor?
Yeah, I think as far as it goes, I don't know for you guys, but like definitely in my household, I feel like doctors, like creme de la creme, it's like the top career that you could be. And so, like I was saying, like when I was someone who was extremely like studious. I loved movies. I was always in a book. I was super quiet when I was a kid. Wow. Like, I was very like responsible. So I feel like it was easy to associate some of those attributes with this professional career that was like that. So when I got older and I was like, yeah, I like science too, but science is very interesting. And then I continued in that path. I didn't really consider other options. And I was like, okay, like this is what I should do. My parents are telling me that I'm smart. And like, they dig your head up too when you're a kid. They're like, oh, wow. It's going to be a
IPRA student. IPRA.
You know what I mean? Like, that's how this is your friend. So it feels bad. I'm not going to lie. It feels nice.
It feels awesome.
I don't know what that feels like.
I lived off of that.
Yeah, of course. Come on. They people give you free money for no reason. It's just like, yeah, here you go.
$5.
Yeah. So, what did mom and dad think about your career choice early on, what you wanted to do?
Well, here's the thing. I definitely lied for 7 years of my life. I was definitely a liar. I jumped into university. And I think it was after my first year, I started to realize that there was more than chemistry, biology, human physiology. Like, I was like, there were other courses to take, and my interest was like drawing out other courses. But then I'm also, again, I'm a bona fide people pleaser, and I love the freedom of my I never wanted to tell them that I was thinking of another year. It's so nice, but like, they're telling other people like how accomplished you are, like what you can do. Oh, did you know she got accepted to this many universities? So I never said anything. I graduated. Never said anything. My dad's like, so now, like, what's your plan? Like, how are we going to study things? I'm looking at this man like,
you should be like, everyone. What? See what happened.
Literally, I'm like, hey, but I still never said anything, and I told them, I'm really young. I just want to be able to like travel and do some things first before like I get it. It was just lying through my teeth. Before I get stuck down and like career, I just want to travel, things like that.
Enjoy. Travel to where?
She was planning to go to Ghana. That was all part of it.
Oh my god. I like university really for me. I think it really allowed me to be creative. I come from a really creative family. I would say all of my siblings are very talented. And I think like for me when I was younger, I felt like even though I was super creative, I was only allowed to be academic. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
You're the doctor.
Yeah. Eight.
Yeah.
I feel you on that.
Would lie and tell him, oh, I just want to like travel as I left a little bit. But meanwhile, I was really on the sidelines. At the time, I was working on an app. Just like one of my close friends at the time. We were working on an app. We were like in incubators. Like we were really trying to go hard.
This is why I don't like university. It takes our young people and it ruins their minds. What is this?
Perfect girl going to school to be doctor.
Now she's developing an app.
And I was like, you know what? I didn't think that I was like, why didn't I think of your science? Why do I really didn't have an inkling of what I actually wanted to do with my life? I was just trying. I feel like this period, I was trying out different things. I was like, oh, this is what I want to do. Then I met some friends that were super creative. And they were so passionate about the creativity and what they were going to do with their lives, and they're like all going to be music. Then I had a bright idea in my head that I'm supposed to be an artist. Yes, God gave you a voice.
Heck no.
Did you vocalize any of this to your parents as your testimony?
I'm learning or I'm experiencing when I was trying to understand where this creative part of me was coming from. I never felt more lost in my life. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I was just like, I could see all of my friends graduating university, going back to their master's, graduating, getting these big nursing jobs. All of these things, and I was like, I didn't want to be talking more. Why didn't I just go and get a nursing, like being the program that I was in. I literally was going back to school for like a year and a half. I really started to doubt myself during that time. It was tough. It was really hard, and I needed money to fund my travel.
You had to keep up the facade, right?
And then I got a job working part-time at one company. And it was like a light bulb went out in my head. And I didn't quite understand what I necessarily wanted to do. I knew that it had to do with like design, because it was just so fascinating. And I think like I was able to channel all of this creativity in a way that like was instantly like cool. So like a client would come in and I could like help them like design their living room. And they would be instantly happy by the work that I produced. And I'm a super people pleaser. So it would feel me again. I'm like, what am I doing? I wasn't trying to go full design again. And I didn't know if I actually wanted to use that for anything. Like, I'd love to meet people, but honestly, some more testing is already not. So, like, you know, I don't really know. But I think, like, that was the spark of that passion for me. And so then I have to, like, travel down that thread. And then it led me to where I am now.
So, then that's a good, that's a perfect segue. So, where are you now? So, what is your official title and what do you do?
Yeah. Do you like to wear like I would consider myself as an entrepreneur founder interior. I really kind of want to do that now, too. I wear it proudly. Full on embarrassment. Can you imagine from going
The thing is, people fail to realize even doctors need their spaces designed.
Definitely not everybody. But I think what I'm excited about is that I own an e-commerce store, so online retail home goods, so different home decor essentials that we can provide, and I also have a content studio where people can come in, curate content for your brand, whether that's personal or business related, too as well. And it's been really awesome.
That was incredible.
Open the studio so that I can meet people and generate revenue. And it's really glad to see, like in this short window of time, like that actually happened. So I feel really excited about the position that I'm in now. And like,
yeah.
This is so much better than being
incredible. Oh, well, I mean, listen. You've never had a high of changing somebody from dead doorstep to actually being a live person. Okay?
Until they got incredible feeling. Until they got too excited. Bridge your heart all over again. I'm telling you, I think you've already answered it.
But why did you decide to pursue this current career? And explain a little bit about how you kind of got into this.
Specifically, I think I decided to pursue it more specifically on my side of it because I finally found a career that I was able to utilize both sides of my brain, to like the left and the right. And to be analytical in figuring out strategy. I really love that. That's one of my favorite stages in the world. Doing brand strategy, marketing, and really figuring out how to create and develop relationships. So it was like all of that, and then channeled into like an industry that I actually liked. It was like the perfect marriage for me. It really came about as I was working for another organization. We won't give them I'm giving you a million percent of my time and my energy. I really did that. The pandemic coupled with Black Lives Matter, it really kind of aggravated my decision for me. I was taking stock in where I was in the company and realizing that the values that I had were not aligned. Well, in their position on Black Lives Matter, and choosing really not to kind of take a stand corporately or internally or externally right away. Their backs were against the wall. Really bothered me. It bothered me that, you know, in that specific industry, so when we talk about like home goods, home furnishings, it bothered me that the demographic was not really for like my own line of sight or the that I experience on a day-to-day when I think about like senior leadership or senior management as well. And it bothered me that they were okay with like status quo. So I was really uncomfortable for a really long time. I was like working with like a job around. And then I knew I had wanted to leave for the little ones. I just never did. Like, oh, I love this. They valued me so much. Like, you know, I felt pushed into shove and I was like, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to step out on my own. I'm going to try to like build legacy for not just like my family, but just for my community too as well. And so then I just, I've never liked this where I just take a risk. And then I was like, whatever. I'm going to take a risk. If I fail, I fail, but I have to try.
How many times did you vomit after you made that decision?
My God. I literally, can I tell you how I, the day that I left was a Friday. The Monday morning, I woke up at 6:30. I got my cup together. I got everything together. I was so ready. I was opening my laptop to check my email, and I was just like, I'm like, I don't work for anybody anymore.
It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. Yeah.
And it took me a really long time. I attached because, and that's why I think it's so important that I love you guys doing
because.
Because I felt like an embarrassment for so long, I attached my identity to
your work. Yeah.
So like,
work,
if I worked really hard somewhere, nobody's gonna question me about
me. Yeah. Right.
I was working so hard in another organization. I had a pretty cool job. I'd have to like travel around Canada, things like that. But it was like, I then realized that I was identifying myself solely to the work that I did and not actually like finding purpose, not actually knowing what it was that I was doing on this earth and how I was supposed to be contributing to society outside of the income that I was providing. Like, I really kind of sat with myself for like a really long
time. Yeah.
Like,
so
that whole time period for me, I felt like it took months for me to really like, and then it's like, you're on your own now.
You're
like,
on your own.
You have so much opportunity. Like, you are in the driving seat.
You are in the driving seat.
For your anything that you want. Yeah, it took me a really long time. Truly understand that.
I
love it. So, now this is the favorite part of the podcast where you get to list your accomplishments. This is the brag zone.
Yes.
You know you like to brag.
Oh, yeah, brag at.
So I don't want no fake, humble, Ghanaian, African.
Oh, God has done it.
Now we want you to listen because you've done it, right? And from your story, you've overcome a lot. So we want to give you that space to give us your highlight reel. What have you accomplished so far in your short but extensive career?
Yeah, honestly, I feel like you guys definitely should have not asked me this question. None of that happened like 2 hours long. But I mean, we definitely talked about a few things. Like I said, I have an e-commerce business, which is so exciting. Like, literally just everything about that and the opportunity that I've gotten from that, which is why I feel like information is just so important. So like, I literally have just started this business, but I found like all these different opportunities to hire interns and how to not come out of my pocket, absolutely, with whatsoever. It just been funded through the government too as well. So it's so important. We need people to help our business thrive and grow, to also acquiring the studio space. I'm moving out the business for about a year. So as well, everything that just surrounded the opening of this space was just incredible. Like, literally, from finding this perfect location. So the studio's on Queen Street. And
in Brampton?
Come on. So downtown Toronto. So,
shout out to B-Town. Don't let her get you down.
It's been so great. I've met so many different people who also, the other day, I don't know if you guys know her, but she is amazing. Her name is Ruby Card. She's an author.
Artist? Oh.
She's an author.
Okay.
Millions of people on Instagram too, also. I had the opportunity to host her as well. And said,
Oh, wow.
Oh, so now we have a studio space to host our podcast. Time, I was like,
where are we going to host? You guys want to come and host your podcast here? And yeah, like,
we got this.
Let me give myself, but.
As long as Kukua's sponsoring it, I'm down. It's
good, right?
But, you guys just have to give my business tag at the bottom, sponsor that.
I will have your business banner in the back. Don't worry.
But I think when you start to really walk into, and it doesn't specifically have to be like your purpose per se, but the direction that you're supposed to be headed in life, I think doors naturally start to open, or you see opportunities in different ways, right? Like, I could have stayed at my cushy job, where, I was traveling all the time. I was always, lunches. Yeah. I was the boss, I had managers underneath me, with knives, I'm designing floor prints and stores, you get to be a part of that product experience. I could have done that, but I think it's much harder to go after what you truly want. I think it's a lot of courage to say, I'm going to lead something that I do not to go after that, but on the other side of that is that you do really get to experience lots of different opportunities that you normally never would. There would never be in a million years that I could have imagined myself in this position right now, in charge of my own company, and making those decisions. There would have never been in a position where I would be hiring for myself as opposed to another organization. There would never be in a position where I would be signing paperwork and documents. I could never be in a position where I could talk to different people about what I was doing and have people really believe in me. You know what I mean? I just had a conversation with someone the other day who kind of wants to use the studio to set up their a show that they're doing with Pinterest. And I'm what in the heck?
Where did that idea come from? Exactly. Yeah.
I love the low key bragging though, signing documents. The flexing is on another, and the flexing is subtly weaving itself in. We don't even know. We're just being charmed by the flex. Absolutely. It's so true. And I'm getting goosebumps because I'm I'm terrified to jump in. I have a million and one entrepreneur ideas and different business ideas I should run with. And you're giving me so much as kind of. I'm hoping if I tell you enough, you'll do it. I won't have to do it. If I tell enough people, somebody will do it. Somebody will do it for me. But it's insane that you're just able to jump.
I agree with that too. I think I am comfort's biggest best friend. I loved it so much. And one of the things that I had to recognize in myself is I had to define success on my own terms.
Yes.
And it was really important for me because I was I would look around and I would see some other companies like on TikTok that would just like blow up instantly. Oh my God, okay, I want to do this so I can have a $2 million business in my first year and everybody can know that I'm like crazy success and that I'm actually important and everything that I was doing for value. And then I realized I was like, is that actually what you want?
Yeah.
Yes, eventually I do want to have $1 million and I will have that. And it was like, do I want to nurture that right now and be overwhelmed? Or do I actually want to slowly learn things? I think sometimes, and I'm seeing it to myself because I didn't put my job for a little more time because I thought that I would be considered a failure if people outside of my immediate circle can be successful right away.
Right.
It happens a lot. Like, you know, people, if I don't get that external validation from others, all that my everything that I wanted to do, totally like crap, like it didn't work out. Like I'm actually not like said that I'm supposed to be, but then I realized that I was like, as I started to talk to other people and I started to recognize some of the things or experiences that I thought, I was like, no, like you're on the right path. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
this is. You're now sitting in a position where you love the corner. Like, I like to go to work, you know? And so those markings for me are my new measured reflection because, like, I'm not on anybody's timeline anymore. Yeah, I don't have a performance review around the corner that like, you actually missed, like, even the trick mark point. Like, I'm defining those metrics. So, like, it makes it easy to, like, sit inside that and be like, yeah, okay.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I think honestly, like everything will come back. Which is so funny. As we talk about all these successes, like there has been so many successes. When I was first opening up the studio, I wanted to open it up so quickly. I wanted to get people in here right away. Like I want to make sure that everything is perfect. And like it wasn't. And I remember like I had a friend who was coming to like take photos of the studio for me. Yeah. And it was like 4 a.m. the day of. Right, it was like 4 a.m. in the morning. I'm still at the studio. I'm crying.
Oh.
Falling my eyes out because I'm like, I'm not done. And then it's fucking up open. And I'm a failure. And I was, and then I called her and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I wasted your time. Like, I can't do it. Like, everything is falling apart. Like, things that I wanted to get done, it's not done. Like, I was so frustrated. She just looked at me. She's like, she's okay. She's like, it's fine. She's like, you're gonna open it when you want to open it. And like, it's so crazy because it's not like I was saving lives, you know. Wink, wink. I was so. Honestly, like I was so emotionally distressed over like some of these setbacks, you know, the home industry, and I'm sure a lot of other like retail industries too as well, like experienced a crushing supply chain just from the pandemic. And I just started a business in the middle of that. Like, make it make sense.
Commerce business to boot,
right?
It was so hard because I feel like, again, like I was putting so much into it. And so I was creating all these different strategies and, you know, I would see product that like I purchased that like nobody would touch. Like I designed this, I worked with a manufacturer, I got it all. And like, you spend money. No, like literally nobody would touch. Like absolutely like, wow. I wish somebody would buy that item. And I got so nervous about it. It's not like I had like banked a dad.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No passport.
Exactly. Right.
But I think too, one thing that I had learned in like just like listening to others is that failure is good, but you just fail fast. You know what I mean? If you're taking failure as a measure of like your entire world, you're gonna stay inside that pit and just like wallow and be depressed. And I was like, okay, you know what? Like, customers are telling me something. They're not interested.
Right.
Let me go
on to the next.
What it ended up being. So then I realized, I was like, okay, everybody keeps asking for when this item is going to come back and stop. Okay, so now I know that, like, this is what my customers
are telling me that they want.
Yeah. And so then I just started to use that to drive the data in a positive way and stop reflecting on the money that I spent there. And then I
realized, it's okay.
Yeah. You know? It hurts still, actually. It does.
Oh, send me the old ones. I'll take it. And Yashi, send me the old ones.
I just look for creative ways to like get that product to move. And sometimes it's too just like the internet is so big, you really have to find the And it's not gonna be the 10 people that walk on the street gonna buy your product. But I think I've had so many different setbacks inside this business, but it was really just understanding, and I continue to understand that like those failures happen, you just kind of have to take the lesson from it.
Wow, love it. So how do your parents feel about this now? Like they wanted the dream of their doctor there. Kukua's going to be a doctor. Kukua's in school. We're going to do MCATs. Oh, Kukua's just traveling. When she goes to Ghana and she comes back,
she come and do
go to med schools and we'll be fine.
It's okay.
Oh, and all of a sudden, Kukua's going to a studio.
Kukua's arranging furniture.
Ah, furniture. What? See, it will be with you. If you wanted to play with my couch, that's not you in the air. What do your parents feel? And like, how do they feel about this new profession, this line of work you're in, and your business as a whole?
Yeah, I think when I told my dad I wanted to leave my job, honestly, like, he didn't even hear what I was saying. Aww. He was like, hey, you want to leave your job? Every day you get to go here, and you get to go here, you're not doing anything, you just travel. He's like, you want to leave that job? He's like, that's a good job. I'm like, Dad, I'm like, it's hard. Like, I'm like, I feel like I don't belong. He's like, and?
And today,
and I'm feeling like that, like, it's like you it's
these new age people, bro.
You're making money. You can, when work is done, you can come belong at home.
What's you imagine him telling somebody, what's you won't be long? What's you won't be long? I don't know what that even.
But I want to take a step back though. When was the first time you vocalized to them that you're not going to be a doctor and this is not the right?
You've
never been on your life. You're just working out.
I still tell them that. I'm like, I tell them, I'm like, yeah, I'm multi-talented. I can do anything. I literally would not come out and tell them that I don't want to do that. Literally, he's always hoping one day I'll turn around when I'm like 45.
It might happen.
Dad, if you're listening, don't worry, she will do it.
It's okay.
Arvid,
if you're listening, you want to give me an honorary doctorate? Like, hey. Yeah, I'm ready. My parents proud.
What's your alma mater?
What school did you end up going to?
I first went to, as my dad showed, like, University of Decision. I went to UIT.
Okay.
And you know, when you're going to university, all your friends are going to like one school and you just want to be with your friends. So then after the 2 years, I made him promise me like transfer to school in Ottawa.
Okay.
So then he was just like, yeah, sure, it's there. But
you didn't hear it.
So years happened. I did it all, like, that's the thing, like, sometimes I'm so sneaky, like, I did it all behind his back. Oops. I never said anything once, waited till I got my acceptance.
Oh, the way you're breaking Dad's heart.
Oh, I know. Oh,
I waited until Ottawa Youth and Carleton gave me acceptance bit, and then I was like, okay, that was my...
I'm good.
You told me I could go to school. Ottawa. What? What? I went to school in Ottawa. Had I known? I think it was good to... I think everybody should go. Just to get that real life, like,
yeah.
I didn't know that it was going to be like that. I literally...
Yeah.
If I would have stayed at home.
Yeah.
It's real life. You know.
I feel you.
But are they now like your business that you're running now? Like, do they see that as, yeah, this is what you're doing for the rest of your life, or this is just another hobby till you get to med school?
I think what I do work too is that my parents can now see. I think that they've seen me be successful in different ways.
Right.
So my mom owns, and it's so funny, my mom owns like an African store in Jarrington.
Okay.
She's an entrepreneur herself, you know?
Shout out, mom. Shout out to mom.
It's so funny. I'm like, she wasn't as underneath my dad, but like, they really didn't want this life for me. It was like, not easy. But now I think they get really excited. Again, I love strategizing my business. And now I can talk to them about business and like different things that we can do in the store to like build that up. And so they love that. They love that they can use me now in a way. Yeah. So like,
Right.
They tell, literally I walk into the store and they said, oh yeah, that's my daughter. She owns a studio in Toronto.
I love it.
And it's nice to like now again, like you can kind of see on that other side where I think like once they start to see that it actually can work out she's gonna be okay. Like now I'm slowly coming back.
Yes, the other side.
Yeah.
Don't worry, your dad is still seeing this as a saving towards med school. Don't even worry about
it. As a side gig, when you start your residency, you see, I told you all this hobby stuff. Now you're doing it. No, but as I always say, like I think our parents, their biggest thing is they always want us to be okay, and not struggle like they had to.
Right.
Being first coming into this, you know, country as immigrants, not having the requisite, you know, education or fitting in. And they've never wanted us to experience that. So if there's anything that they didn't understand, it was just like, no, I don't want you to struggle. So get into that. So I think as you're making it and as people start using your studio and you're becoming
e-commerce.
E-commerce and you're selling all over the place. They say, hey, you see my daughter, hey?
That's my baby.
She's there online. She's selling tins. Even in Ghana, they're ordering her tins. You don't see?
Exactly. Funny, the sad... That one day and I drop the car keys to them and I say, hey, this is your car.
Right?
They'll be like, hey. See, I told you should sell things. You did
I told you to move furniture. And design furniture. Studio. You were not listening initially. All right. So we have what we call the perfection equation, which is when passion meets purpose, you experience pleasure in your career. Would you say you're there?
I'd say I'm making strides. I'd say I don't think, and this is where I feel like I'm glad that I'm on the path now. I don't think I'm at my final destination. Like, I definitely don't think I'm in my final form. Feel like I'm on the journey to my purpose, but I really think that it's a little bit more elaborate than what I'm doing now. But I believe in that equation too, and I'm almost there.
All right, awesome.
So practically, how can other immigrant kids get into this field and start up their own business like this? Because I've never seen anybody, especially looking like us, in the furniture space, in the home decor space. Like, it's not something that we talk about as an industry for us.
That's true.
But I would want to decorate my home with the black designers, right?
It's so pretty cool,
how do we get immigrant children that are coming up to practically get in this space?
And disappoint their parents.
No, wait. How do they get into this space while they're waiting to get to med school? In between their med school, how do they get into this
space? How do you have another career? Oh, you're being
And so what's going to happen is you're going to run this business for another 5 years. You go to Ghana, where you come back, and then you go to med school. That's it. Simple. Dad, see, we solved it. Don't worry. We got here.
I definitely think that there needs to be more of us in the, again, like I said, I'm like, honestly, it's like a diamond in the desert. You don't see a lot of the successful black designers to evolve. But I think I tried of like the typical route of going to a university and like getting it. I think feel like there's a lot of different avenues where people can get to this point. So I always tell people, you know, if you're interested, if you're not ready to go back to school yet, you know, you can start by getting day date. You know, and that's a really, it's really lucrative. Well, I think everybody and their mother wants a real estate agent at this point.
Yeah.
This is true. Everybody knows someone who's a real estate agent.
It's either you're a real estate or you're a digital marketer.
Oh, like, this is so right now.
No, it is.
Again, this program does not hate digital marketers or real estate agents. We just want to put it out there for disclaimer. Please do not sue us. We love you all.
But if you're not one already, don't become one. We have enough. We're good.
Again, we do not discourage anyone from pursuing their passions, and we would not discourage you either.
Sell something else. Sell something in the home, not the home, the decor or something. Sell something else.
I was trying to get people to recognize like the value that I brought to the table and like to see me in that light. That was one of the things that I did. So again, shout out to my mom because she actually hooked it up for me. But this was years ago. A lady came to me at the store that was like a real estate agent. She was like, "You should meet my daughter. She's so great at this." And then I had like no accolades, no nothing. Like I wouldn't even, and so we had a relationship. It was like the worst thing in the world because I hate talking about myself.
Try another line.
Oh, she's going to med school. She's
and it was just like, let me show you what I can do. And so I think sometimes, you know, we want to get like paid right away for certain things. Like, yeah, I want to do what I want to get. I think it's a really good thing to like sit under people or to learn the craft or to reach out to someone and say, hey, this is something I'm interested in. Girl, I was like, I would love to show you what I can do. And she was like, great, I have a house coming up. I would love your support. So come in, talk to these clients. And so like, that was the first time I ever put myself out there. And I think that that's like that first step, you know? Find out if it is the space that you really want to get into. Find people that are within this industry or the subset of those industries. So like stagers are on the subset of like interior design and like home goods or things like that. So I started there and then I showed her what I could do. And then from then, that client who's home what I did, she was like, when I move, I want you to do that.
Wow.
And you did that. You know what I mean? So then I did her house for her and she was in love, like, you know what I mean? And then the real estate agent was like, okay, my next project, we're on. And then it happened again. When I did that person's house, the next house, they wanted me to do it.
Wow.
And that kept, and then I built my confidence that way. And I was like, okay, I understand what it is, like my interior style that I'm really gravitating toward. I really built my client relationship there too. People think like in this space, it's hard, you know? Black people, we've never been in, I don't want to say we've never, but it's not something we typically do where we're hiring out for these kinds of services.
Oh, so Yeah, it took
a lot of like
paying for this.
Yeah. We're not paying for this. I'm good myself. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what we're thinking. There's value in, like, I always feel like, even though I'm good at this, like, you don't want the headache. No, I want someone to do that for me.
That's just true. Right.
So I really kind of like built my roles that way. And then I stood there and I figured out, I was like, okay, I don't necessarily want to be like a designer because like when I generally look, even though like I liked it, I don't really want to feel like time. But I really like that experience. I really like someone being able to see the finished product and like be super happy. Like they give me like a nice
boost. Yes.
You know, so I was like, okay, that's when I figured out I still want to utilize both sides of my brain. And that's when I was like, okay, I think I can be in this industry. And then from then, it's a different story. Like, then it's like a whole other podcast of things that we just talk about on specifically how I got it covered. But I think if you want to get into interior design or you want to be a stylist or anything like that, I think that it's really important. So you just take that first step and reach out, you know what I mean? And like develop your skills. So if you reached out to me and said, hey, girl, I would love to like work on with you or X, Y, Z or things like that. I'm like, people are more open to that kind of thing, especially if you're not just coming at them for a check right away.
Yeah.
So just pretending that you can do that, but it's not paid out first, and then you can build up.
Perfect. So what's next for Kukua? What's next for you?
I mean, I'm probably born, like I have like a billion entrepreneur ideas.
That's amazing.
But I think one of the things I've been thinking about is just within the studio space already, as kind of coming up and say, I really want to build a network of women, specifically in this like entrepreneurial community that is really heavily built upon not just people of color, but like Black women. I think, you know, we lack a lot of information when it comes to opportunities or maybe problems that we experience in our business, understanding like numbers, but I think there just feels like there's like a block when it comes to like getting like personalized information. Yeah. I feel like I've been on the side where I've been blessed to either be super fortunate and like acquire until I get the information I'm looking for, or just have like different opportunity all the way to make this chat. It would be really great that I could have an opportunity to share those experiences and have other women share experiences too, like in a really safe environment. So I'm missing it, possibly doing a couple of different socials in the studio too.
Is the men too can come for more?
Some people are saying that it could be like social within my for men and women and within our community.
Yeah. No, but I love the idea.
You do a singles mingle.
that is where your mind is going. Focus on business. Hey, no, but
entrepreneurship and entrepreneur women also need, you know,
they need what they need to focus too. On their job.
I mean,
make your money.
They need love too.
No, but I think that's something we would definitely, and I could see that for you in terms of doing that and using your space to amplify the voices of different entrepreneurs and having that entrepreneur discussion. So maybe that's something, you know, Doctrine and Embarrassment will get down with.
We will support.
We'll support with. Oh, we're down. We love the vision and where you're going. So.
Yeah, drop some of your social media handles for us and where we can find you and your e-commerce website.
Where can I buy some of your pieces?
If you would love to shop with us, and you can visit our website, www.shopeverydayjoy.com. Get that page to you. It's under the sign of Feel My Joy. So. And with shop, it's ED. I'm on Instagram and TikTok, Workshop Everyday Joy. And if you want to check our studio page, it's Everyday Work Studio.
All right.
When money is flowing like that, every day is joyful.
Every day is joyful.
Exactly.
So Doc, what was our phrase of the day today?
Phrase of the day today was Nkwanchen Adefai Diskaneye, which means everything beautiful really is done with money.
Oh, and this one is just literal for me. Like, you want to design your home nice, it's going to cost you money. I take that in the sense of, like, we look at a lot of these professions in the space that you're in right now in terms of the home decor space. Everybody wants a beautiful home, right? And especially in our community, we're always proud to know, I bought this nice home, I want it nice. But are we willing to spend that money and that energy to get good, right? And then even on ourselves as individuals, are we willing to invest in ourselves? Yeah. Invest in your dreams, invest in your purpose to actually make it what you want it to be, right? And I think once we realize that anything good we get out of takes investment, be it money, be it time, be it resources and all that stuff, that's how we know that we're going to be able to reach our goals.
Oh,
brilliant.
I'm good with the words, so I've been told.
Josh, what do you think?
Absolutely. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think that anything that you are wanting to do, you need to have it be presentable. You need to set up a presentation for that. And so, I could quite literally take the studio space. It was in a significant investment. You want someone to experience your product, you want someone to use your services. There has to be a certain level of standard. And again, it comes with an investment. And again, that investment costs money.
Right? Yeah.
Understanding that that creator site can make money without money. It's something like this too as well. You want to present something with value, gotta have money behind that. Like, I'm blessed that, you know, but for someone else, like, they would have to charge somebody to get the exact same result. So I think that when we can position ourselves in that way, to know that for what it is that I want, I'm going to have to put the money behind it.
Yeah.
That phrase kind of, it speaks for itself in that sense.
Yeah. I take money to be something that's like, maybe not simple monetary capital, but an investment of time. You know, you see something that's beautiful that stands there, that thing doesn't stand alone. You see someone's investment, their hard work that you see, it doesn't stand alone. There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that goes in behind the scenes. And so that's that capital, the currency that they put into their work in order for you to see the beautiful finished product. So when you see something that's beautiful that you see from afar, don't judge it to just be that, just, you know, uprooted it and then stood on its own. But, you know, it took hard work.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that too as well. But I feel like sometimes people see things and they're like, I could do that. But it's like more than it just being like exactly the currency, like the time that she will spend to be able to get that level of detail or level of, I can't even find the word that I'm looking for, but yeah.
Perfection.
Yeah.
It doesn't just come just out of the blue.
So Doc, what did we learn about Kukua today, Madame Kukua? What did we learn about her today?
We're still going on with
Kukua. What I learned about Kooks.
Listen, that's all I know, and I love it. So I'm gonna go with it, and I love it. And we're bringing it back.
What I learned is that she's not just book smart, but she has an artistic side to her brain, which is just very impressive. Like, she's able to see things from completely different perspectives, which would have been wasted in med school. Or maybe she could have been a surgeon. Who knows? She would have been a plastic surgeon. She would have been perfect plastic surgeon.
Oh my God. I would have been making so much money. Maybe I could have been.
But yeah, like, not only is she intelligent, but she has an artistic side of her brain that is admirable as well.
Wow. What didn't I know? Like, I always I think from the outside, you always think Cuckoo was quiet and, you know, reserved and, oh, she doesn't talk much, but, you know, yeah, very talkative. Little did you know. But also, I think, I didn't know that you haven't told your parents you're not going to be a doctor. Like, upon all the running away from it, upon all the deviation, upon all the clear signs, you haven't vocalized it. And it's an interesting dynamic. And I want to know, like, I think we need to do a live episode with mom and dad on. And when you're ready to break the news to them. And then we got to capture that. Because that's going to be an amazing conversation.
I feel like that is, like, my parents and I, like, that's how we play the game sometimes. So, lightly relevant, but also kind of irrelevant. Might be TMI at the outset, but when I was 20, I went to LA with my best friend at the time. This was in my travel era, guy. And we were in LA and we were in Venice, and I was like, oh, I need a Marxist occasion somehow. And then I was like, can you get a tattoo of Marxist occasion?
Oh,
I got a tattoo. I hid the tattoo for 8 years. 20.
Oh my gosh.
Tattoo for 8 years.
Wow.
20 to 28. I now know that my parents know.
You're welcome.
Oh, all playing a game. They don't know that I know that they know. Like, we're all playing a game here.
They didn't want you to know that they knew and that they did nothing about showing off. They don't.
Like, your child, sometimes they'll, like, hold it over my head a little bit. They'll ask me some questions where it'll be like, I'll be with my mom. She's like, oh, I think you said you had a cut over here. Let's say you show me where they cut it.
Yeah.
I think it looks like, I'm like, no, I don't think I told you that. She's like, are you sure? Or then they're not like, we're all playing a game. So, like, that can be the kitchen. We're playing a game. Yeah. They're waiting for me to say it. I gotta say it. I gotta tell them.
We'll find time. We'll have the phrase. We'll let them down gently. We'll have a whole event at the space, and we'll talk about. Reveal.
We got the your space.
The no med school reveal.
And then we'll bring a doctor too.
Right.
Since Sal, you gotta be there.
With a stethoscope, like, the pop of a loon.
You gotta have done this.
Yeah,
but I'm sure dad is still be like, oh, all the designer stuff is just for when you get your own clinic. You can design it well.
Exactly.
That's what you're doing.
I tell him, well, I'm not open a clinic in Ghana. That gives him hope.
Right.
You're playing.
I do. So, you know, maybe.
Oh, you're playing for hearts.
Stop stringing them along, okay? My aunt used to say, "Akra no bi evida," which is like, you know, it's a child that. Sorry, Penny no bin yibida, which means like it's an elder that people have not been, but everyone's been a child. Your parents have seen it. They know.
It's not your life.
We have everything. All the stuff we do, we think parents don't, they know.
They know the games you're playing. So Kukua, this is our mic drop moment. What one piece of advice would you give 17-year-old Kukua or Josh if you met her? Right now, from everything you've gone through, your experience, challenges, triumphs, what one piece of advice would you give her?
This is so funny because I just literally had a reflective moment not too long ago. I think if I was speaking to 17-year-old Josh.
She was Josh at that time. She's gone to high school and become Josh.
Yeah. I think I would tell her to stop fitting in the roles that other people had set out for her.
Mm.
Really understand who she was as a person and what she really truly brought to the table, what she offers, whether that's in academic pursuits, in friendship relationships too as well. I think I would tell her to do more in finding out what it is that she wants and not what it is that she can present or offer. Mm-hmm. In the environment of others, to just be more about herself and, like, finding that. Yeah. I think I probably already would have been 30 steps ahead if I knew that. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, lovely.
That's deep. I think we all can take a little bit from that advice. Yeah. Thank you.
But now you guys know I can be deep as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
I've known that.
You have to be deep to be a doctor, so since you're going to be one.
Well, you have to cut people deep, but now she has no license.
Oh, it's coming. Don't worry. I'm telling you, after her trip to Ghana, all this will change. She'll come back and go to med school.
They'll send you to speak with grandma. Hey, talk to her. She's arranging furniture because she doesn't belong. She doesn't belong. I don't know.
Madam Kokua, we really, really appreciate you taking the time to be with
us. Yes.
Josh, thank you for sharing your story, for being part of the Dr. Embarrassment family.
Yes.
Really appreciate your story today and learning from you.
Absolutely. You're a brilliant, lovely, infectious young lady.
Thank you so much.
Also, can't wait to see.
If you guys, anytime you guys want to, literally let me know. If you guys would love to shoot a finale episode.
Oh. You're giving us ideas.
There you go.
Finale. We can make that happen.
So yes. Also.
Yeah, no, awesome.
That'd be incredible.
Yeah. Something we would definitely
take you up on that.
Yeah, we're going to take you up on that sooner or later. Some credits. Big shout outs. To first and foremost to the Council of Advancement of African Canadians in Alberta, the Africa Center.
Shout out to Africa Center
this season.
Yes.
To all our guests and as well our listeners for all your continual support, especially for this season.
Yes.
Big shout out to David, King David in the back on production. Really appreciate
David KD
and all your help. And once again, a big shout out to Josh.
Of course, one and only.
One and only, now part of the family, Dr. Embarrassment. So you'll definitely be hearing from her more and more, especially as we get down to her studio. We appreciate you. Yeah. We value you. And we really, 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 truly, truly commend your journey so far and look forward to seeing bigger things from you.
Yes, she's awesome.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. And thank you for coming. Come back, please. We need a part two. Well, we'll see you guys later. Thank you all for listening. Until next time.
Bye-bye.